Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, a late night edition. Jack, we thought we were going to be recording in like the sixth inning, and this ended up being a wild game in the end. They didn't pull it out, but five in a row. They fought back tonight. I'm way more optimistic than pessimistic.
What did we say?
Run.
Take two or three. I mean, we say it before every series, but especially true this series. I mean, they needed to take two or three. They took two or three. You know, I don't know. They got down by 10 tonight, and it was like, all right, game over. And they fought back and made it an interesting game. I think that's important. I agree with you.
I think it says something about them. You know, they were down 10-0, and they were right there, man. When Kutch hit that homer, it was like, oh my god, wow, this could actually happen.
Well, especially because they had to come back against what? It was Minter into Martin.
Martin, yeah. I mean, Minter is absurd. That guy's ridiculous.
Well, he's like their long man. I mean, their starting staff is just like garbage. The Braves. Mm-hmm. I mean, like honestly, my main takeaway from this weekend was like the Braves aren't that good. I mean, obviously Acuna getting pulled tonight hurt, and their top end of the bullpen is really good. Like they have a really good bullpen. That starting staff is just terrible. And you know, I mean, obviously Freeman's always gonna kill you. Like, I don't know how anyone ever gets Freddie Freeman out.
It's unbelievable.
Acuna's a monster. Dansby's having a nice year. Ozuna feels like he always kills us. But like, I don't know. I'm not leaving this weekend totally like scared of the Braves. I think the Phillies could run them down.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Phillies are just as good offensively, you could argue. The starting pitching's way better. And, you know, the bullpen is way worse. But,
yeah.
I mean, you could argue they're not – I agree with you. Like, they're not – the gap is not as wide as I thought it was when you watch these two teams play this weekend. And, look, I mean, the Phillies are going to hit, man. They're going to hit. This lineup is cooking right now. And we'll get into, like, specifics and all that. But, I mean, you look through the lineup and everyone – I mean, everyone has, like, an 800 OPS or higher. It's crazy. I mean, they are really cooking and – you know, Eflin looked great. We'll get into that. I'm not like talking World Series or anything yet, but they're a good baseball team right now. I mean, they've shown that if the bullpen isn't going to just kill them, they can win some games.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, tonight felt like an 08 game. Like, it felt like one of those games that Hamels didn't start in 08, where it was just like, all right, the offense is going to hopefully get us a lot, and the bullpen could not craft a bed. Like, I feel like I watched a lot of 12-10 baseball games in like 2008.
Just not like this one. This was a unique one.
Oh, this is a totally weird baseball game. And it was even weirder that the Phillies or Philadelphia teams are the only teams that have come back from 10-0 loss.
That was just super weird. Sad. I was like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It almost felt destined. And they kept showing the graphics. It was like, all right, ESPN, chill out. We get it.
I hate them. I hate them.
The whole thing was brutal with that. But like you said, I mean, it does show, first of all, like we talk so much this season about not having urgency and not feeling like they were, you know, playing it like a 60-game season. We certainly saw a ton of urgency. And just to fight back the way they did, I mean, it shows some chutzpah, Jack. You know, when I know you love when I talk about chutzpah.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can work chutzpah into this podcast, I'm all for it.
And look, it's coming off. I think it means a little more coming off 5 in a row after that disastrous doubleheader in Toronto, and to like bounce back the way they did and to win 5 in a row for the first time since 2018, which is just still absurd. They couldn't make it 6, but they tried.
They tried. But
coming off that, to show like, to not just, it felt like, look, how many teams down 10-0 in the second just say, all right, whatever, you know, it's Sunday night, we're just gonna pack it in. It ends up being like 14-4 or something like that, and that didn't happen. And they fought hard, and they showed they can hang with the Braves, taking 2 of 3, obviously. It's encouraging, man. And look, where record-wise, where they sit, I mean, they're tied for second in the division. And I think getting second in the division is actually far more important now than we thought. I mean, you don't want to be the 8 seed. You don't want to run into the Dodgers buzzsaw. Although maybe you could argue that getting them in a 3-game series makes more sense if you're going to have to roll through.
Oh, they're beating the Dodgers?
The Dodgers. That's the problem. All right, let's go through game by game, because it was a really fun weekend of baseball, and there's a lot to get to. Let's start with Friday night. Obviously, the Kingery walk-off, we'll get to that. But not the best Wheeler we've seen, but certainly, you know, just kind of keeps trucking along. What'd you see?
He's just good, you know. He's never going to wow you with the strikeout numbers, but you know, he said something interesting, maybe it was a week or two ago, about how, like, he started studying the best pitchers in baseball, and sure, like, the Coles of the world and the really, really elite guys, Scherzers, like, they get strikeouts, right? But, and Wheeler is just not striking out guys at this point, which is whatever. It's kind of frustrating, and it kind of makes you wonder if he's going to regress a little bit here, if that ERA is going to regress. But at the same time, you know, if you look at his expected stats are right around where his ERA is now. So it's not like the underlying numbers are, you know, some crazy. But he said basically, like, he studied the best pitchers in the sport, and they would go deep into ball games and they would try to get early outs. And it's very old school, you know, kind of pitching to contact and trying to get early outs and not trying to get deep in counts and letting guys foul balls off and whatnot. And yeah, it's 98 contact stuff, but it gets the job done. And I just feel confident every time he goes out there, he's going to give me at least, like, I just feel like 6 innings, 7 innings, 3 runs or less. I mean, he's definitely found his groove here a little bit. Obviously you want to see the strikeouts come up, but, listen, I'll take a 98-mile-an-hour contact pitcher. I mean, whatever. And I think, honestly, the fact that his expected stats are right around where his actual stats are, I think is really big. Because that's the one thing you worry about with the strikeouts not being there, is that his numbers could kind of regress to the mean a little bit. But it seems like everything's fine. And, yeah, I mean, it's just so relieving not having to put all the pressure of the starting rotation on Aaron Nola. You know, the fact that you have Wheeler behind him just makes everything so much nicer. And, you know, it would be great if they traded for a starter tomorrow. I don't know how realistic it is. And they're probably looking for a controllable guy. But just the fact that you have Nola, Wheeler at the top, I think Eflin's good. And then Spencer Howard is getting better. And then obviously you have no idea what you're getting from Jake Arrieta. Like, the starting staff is good. And I feel confident in every single Zach Wheeler start. It doesn't seem like guys can consistently barrel up the baseball against them. I mean, it's 98 with legit run. And yeah, it's just good. I like watching Zach Wheeler. Well worth the contract so far. I was a little, obviously we were a little worried about Wheeler coming in, but I mean, he's just 100% lived up to it so far.
Yeah, no, he's the definition of consistency so far for this team. He's been really the only guy you can count on. Every single time he's taken the mound, he's given you a good start, at least, you know, something solid. And that's super useful when your bullpen is horrendous. It's really important to have. Let's get Eflin out of the way, and then we'll talk about all the kind of offensive stuff that went down. And, you know, obviously a lot there. And obviously, you know, some guys, are they back or not?
But, a lot of guys are back. I'm just saying a lot of guys are back.
I think a lot of guys are back. Eflin, I thought Eflin was awesome. Dude. And obviously, if it weren't the rain out, I think the rain delay, probably could have gone another inning. We've seen Eflin have the strikeout stuff this year, which he's, you know, to a level he's never come close to before. But it seemed like he really put it all together on Saturday night. Or Saturday day, I should say.
Yeah, and it was about time. I mean, if you want to talk about expected stats, like his ERA was like in the high fives, but his expected ERA was in like the 2.5s. So it finally seemed like everything was kind of calming down a little bit from that standpoint. But Eflin, I just love watching him. And maybe it's – I obviously love JT. But I also really like watching Andrew Knapp call a game because, like, I feel – I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like Andrew Knapp's kind of in my head. And me and Andrew Knapp would both call the same games. So I really like that me and Andrew Knapp are on the same page when it comes to calling games, especially for Zach Eflin. Like, I feel like I could be in the dugout and call a Zach Eflin game because I just know him. I just know Zach Eflin too well. Like, we're just on the same page. It's a beautiful thing. When there is podcast to pitcher synergy, you don't find it very often, but the fact that we have it is just so massive. And
yeah, well, I mean, you also are both known for having heavy bodies at time too.
No, I think so. I think that's rude, and I think that I don't like that one bit. But it's okay. It's a fair shot given all the old jokes that I've made on this podcast. Yeah,
yeah, just a
yeah.
Few.
Well, I'd rather have you out there than Arrieta. Is Arrieta as old as you? No, Arrieta's not as old as you.
No, there are a few.
You're darn right, Val.
not many, man. Not
yeah,
many.
I just really, really enjoy watching Eflin, and a lot of people are talking about his curveball as like a reason for the strikeout increases, and it is nice that he's, you know, finally showing a semblance of having an off-speed pitch that could be a weapon. Like, that was the thing that was always frustrating about Eflin the last couple of years was, you know, the curveball kind of just spun and didn't really do a job. But he talked after the game about how he's, which is crazy because he's 27 years old and has probably been pitching forever, but he just realized that you're supposed to throw your curveball like your fastball, and then the last second, you know, kind of rotate your wrist and snap it off like a freaking curveball. So it's nice that Zach Eflin has figured that out in his age 27 season or whatever. But yeah, he was talking about how he's
better late
yeah,
than
sure,
never.
Whatever. But it is nice that so basically he's trying to throw his curveball like his fastball, and that's his mindset. And he's trying to spin it harder and whatnot. And if you look at the numbers, like, he's not the spin rate isn't really increased that much, and the horizontal and vertical movement profiles are about the same. The one thing that is interesting is that it's jumped 2 miles an hour. So it was the average velocity last year was like 77 miles an hour, and it's up to 79 now. Which is good. I mean, if he can throw a curveball harder and make it spin as hard as you were at 77 miles an hour, it's obviously going to be a better pitch. So that's good to see. And yeah, it just, like, when he's – Eflin's a guy that when you just let him go and get rolling and the ball's jumping, like, just don't even worry about taking him out of the ball game. Like, he'll have his games where it's five innings of just slog and it's just – trotting, but when he's on a roll, like, he'll just throw a complete game in like 87 pitches, and like, that's what he was on pace to do on Saturday.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So I really like the fact that we could be, I don't know, what, 2-3 years away from a rotation of you know, Wheeler, Nola, Howard, Abel, and Eflin has like your five is a luxury. Eflin as a 4-5 is an absolute luxury. And I really enjoy watching him. And Andrew Knapp, I just appreciate that we call the game together.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know that you're talking to one of the founding members of the Andrew Knapp fan.
Is your jersey in yet, or it's not in yet?
Well, I've got one of each jersey. He's worn four jerseys this year, so now I got to get one of each. I feel like
just when I got my number 15 Nappy jersey in, he switched it to 7. So it's very disappointing.
It was 7, 5, 42. It's great.
Yeah, yeah, he's covering it all.
That's a good yeah. nugget there. All right, nothing to say about Arrieta, right? He just is what he is, and he mostly sucks, and every once in a while he'll be okay. Is that – do we need to elaborate on
that? Like, maybe the biggest waste of money I've ever seen in my life.
I just hate
him, man.
When you consider that he was the first Philly athlete to ever make $30 million in a season, like, you could – and granted, that's obviously since, you know, they're the Tobias Harris world and all that type of stuff. But I mean, it was he is definitely one of the big busts money, just pure money-wise, we've seen him.
Yeah, well, dude, it's like it would be like paying Babin $30 million a year. Like he's just the worst. Even when he pitches,
he's so
even
not
when
likeable.
He pitches well, I hate so it. Like because it's like he's just you know, and freaking Vasgersian, who I usually like the whole first two innings, he's like, yeah, he's just pitching around this guy. It's like, no, he's not. He has no idea where the freaking ball's going. Like, he doesn't know. Like, Jake Arrieta has no idea where the ball's going. And, you know, I'm just so sick and tired of every time he pitches decently well in the post game, he's like, yeah, great bullpen. I'm basically back now. Like, Jake Arrieta has said he's been back, like, 17 times since he's been here.
Yeah, he should never be allowed to
just.
Like, they should just, when it's time for like, media availability they're like sorry Jake's not
no
to talk.
Just go just go away. I can't wait to never watch him again. I truly can't wait I will never ever like Vinny drives me crazy. Actually, no, I would rather watch Jake Arrieta than Vinny. I don't know, it's both awful, just truly awful experiences. I want him to go away so bad. He ruins every game I sit down and watch.
Well, we have
five starts left. I think we have.
I mean, because even if they make the playoffs, there's a 0% chance Jake Arrieta is.
Come on, man. You know, Girardi's gonna use the. He's a veteran.
Oh, you better not. Don't. All right, we're getting off.
He's a veteran.
This I can't even let that enter my.
Knows how to pitch, James. He knows how to pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the fun part of this team, because it is like what a fun thing to have. Like, I forgot what it was like to actually have a consistent lineup that hits most nights. All right, we're gonna get to the people who I think we can both agree are definitely back, and you know, by saying that I'm alluding to what I think, but Kingery gets the walk off on Friday night. It was fun, you know, barely got out, but he, you know, got it
out.
How
do you gotta take a shot at him? Just enjoy the moment, would you? I mean, come on. You don't have to say it barely got out.
We're going to talk about guys that are back. Scott Kingery, I think you texted me and said Kingery's back. You don't actually think
this is 100% dead serious. I think he's taking nice strides forward. Hey, we're going to get to a guy that you probably were mocking me for believing he was back, Adrese Hoskins.
All I'm saying,
and this is,
I mean, did I not just admit that I love Andrew Knapp? What more do you want from me, Jack? I mean,
listen, why don't you learn how to evaluate talent over there and appreciate a good at bat? My thing with Kingery is I think he's done a way better job of being more direct with the baseball. Obviously, the thing that was frustrating about Kingery for a while there was that it just felt like he was trying to uppercut everything and trying to launch everything. And his at bats the last couple days, I mean, he's been hitting the ball harder. Like, he's had, I mean, it's just facts. If you go look at it, he's been hitting the ball harder. I think he's getting more direct to the baseball, and I think we're going to start seeing a much better Scott Kingery than the next, like, 2 weeks. Like, I mean, he's putting together better at-bats. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's back, like Mr. Hoskins. But there are signs of life from Scott Kingery. How about that? Is that fair? Is that not going too overboard?
You know what? I gave you a lot of crap for saying the run was coming, and you know.
Listen, just let me. Sometimes you got to feed the guy when he gets hot. This is like an Allen Iverson possession.
Let the chef cook,
kind
of thing.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I can get down with that. All right. What did you know? Something I'm going to tell you something that you might not
please.
Know. Did you know that Rhys Hoskins has an OPS over 900?
And you know who doesn't have an OPS over 900?
JT.
No, that big fraud in New York that's a first baseman.
JT is actually just over.
Yeah, well, listen.
So Reese back. Like, back, really back, like fully back.
I mean, did you see the at-bats tonight? I mean.
Dude, he was awesome. He was all weekend. I mean, really, not great Friday night, but Saturday and Sunday, he was awesome. And the swings have been – he hit that homer against the Nats where it was like
– There it is.
Off the 64-mile-per-hour curveball or whatever that was like – felt like a Reese swing. It was like, that looks like Reese Hoskins. Like, that's the dude. And then we saw him this weekend. I mean, the homer on Saturday, the homer on Sunday, just the one on Saturday hit into right center and also had the loud out prior to that. I mean – He looks really good, man. This is what we've been talking about. If they could get this guy, how dynamic it makes this lineup.
And I'm just so happy for him. You know, I didn't like watching Reese struggle. I didn't like how the city was kind of turning on Reese. You know, obviously I was concerned about Reese, but it's just so nice that this player is still in there. And I think that the biggest reason why is like his eye is still really good. Even when he was like barely hitting balls out of the infield, for some reason
he was still walking. He walked forever. Like he never stopped walking.
I mean, I have no idea why pitchers were like pitching around
him. Well, that's a different story. Yeah.
So, I mean, with Reese, it comes down to right center field. And when he is thinking right center field, he keeps that shoulder in. He just is a really good hitter. And man, with him back, it's a scary, scary, scary lineup. I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, I'm sure, but like McCutcheon's definitely back.
McCutcheon's like way back. McCutcheon's back
280. This might be premature, but MVP Kutch might be back. I mean, some are saying that MVP Kutch is back, and that
I mean he's been
oh he's just
awesome.
He's crushing the ball
and in big spots too. You know, I'm so happy. Like that makes me so happy. I've said many times on here, he's my favorite player on the team, and you know the way he went down last year and. As we said, the Phillies would not be able to recover from it. And, you know, coming back to start the season, it was clear that he just wasn't quite back. The timing was off. Like, you know, he was still working into trusting that knee. And now to just see him be Kutch again, it's just awesome, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. And the nicest part about where they're at right now is Harper and JT are kind of going through it right now.
I know, and they're
We'll give them a pass since they've literally carried the team the entire year. They get maybe a little 10-game pass. It's fine. I mean, if they can get those guys back on track, I mean, it goes Kutch, Hoskins, Harper, Real Muto, Didi, who's just been good all year. I think he had like maybe 5 games there where it kind of cooled off, but overall.
And has maybe consistently the best at-bats night to night on this team. Like even his outs, like he's working 7, 8, 9 pitch at bat. Like he is a really good hitter.
100%. I mean, between him and Segura, I mean Segura made the play tonight that was infuriating. But
oh god, how did you get caught off base there? Like how it was like a weak little
and like
out. Like
and like where are you going? I mean, if it falls, you'll be there.
Exactly. Where are you going? If it falls, you're getting a second base no matter what. Like.
Right, but I mean, Segura right now is scorching hot as well. 3 more hits tonight. Yeah. So it lengthens the lineup. I mean, like, Bohm is legitimately your 7, 8-hole hitter. I mean, and Bohm has definitely cooled off. I mean, he is really, they are just breaking balling him into the ground. I mean, just sliders in the outside corner. And that's something that he's going to adjust and be fine. But
it happens to every hitter who comes
exactly.
Out. Like it is just
yeah. What and happens. Everyone's like, you know, I mean, obviously there's some overreaction to everything that happens in baseball, but Bohm might legitimately be your 7-hole hitter, which is ridiculous. Like it's
absurd.
And that's why, man, I know what would suck to give more prospects and Klentak probably getting fleeced again, but. Like you don't know what this team could be if they get another bullpen weapon. I mean, Girardi's already pretty much found his guys. It seems like he's settled into who he can trust and where he can go. And it was nice looked like Neris is kind of on his way back from. I mean, Hector's one of those guys that you just get rolling and go. But man, if they could just add one more impact reliever, they could be. Semi-dangerous heading into the playoffs with that offense, and it seems like they can square up everyone. I think we're finally starting to see the Joe Dillon effect kind of take over. I mean, they've been barreling up some baseballs. Now he's got to tell Bryce to stop bunting, and that'd be great, but
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Just calm down.
And I'm happy Bryce admitted that he was being an idiot bunting with two strikes at one time, but just in general, it's like, man, like, here's the thing. If him bunting this much was going to actually change the analytics so that teams did not shift on him so much and it was an actual competitive advantage he was gaining by it other than maybe getting a single out of it, I would be like, all right, maybe there's some long-term value to this, but, like, swing the bat, man. Like, you're the best hitter on the team. Like, swing the bat.
I don't know if this is going to make you feel any better, but Arrieta said after the game that they don't need to make any more moves heading into the deadline.
Oh, thanks, Jake.
Super. Cool. Well, at least he didn't throw a teammate under the bus.
Yeah, I think he's saying, like, don't replace me in the rotation. I'm fine.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah, I got...
Don't trade for
yeah,
somebody.
I got bone spurs or something. It's probably man. It. That must be it this time. I just don't. Do you think Jake is just really struggling with the fact that he sucks? Like, do you think that Jake is just like, it's shoulder this time? Or do you think he's...
Yeah, he seems like one of those guys who always has an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
Yes. If that's what you're asking, absolutely. It is never Jake Arrieta's fault. He's made that very clear, I think, many times over. It is never his fault. It's everyone else's fault and anything else's fault.
Yep.
So, yeah, great. Awesome.
Five more starts. Buddy.
Thanks,
buddy. Five more starts.
Thanks, buddy. Just go away. Go away. All right. Bullpen real quick, because you brought it up. You talked about the guys. Like, do you, like, look, this bullpen is still a disaster. We saw it tonight. Brandon Workman. We got to talk about Workman in a sec, but who do you trust? I'm not even going to say trust. Who do you semi-trust in this pen? I mean, Blake Parker's been really good. I don't know. We've talked about it. I don't know how the hell he wasn't on the opening day roster. JoJo? What do you think of the pen? Give me the Jack Fritz breakdown of the Phillies bullpen right now, heading into the trade deadline tomorrow, and we'll talk about, you know, Hader and all the stuff that's out there. But what's the Jack Fritz breakdown of this pen right now? Who can you trust loosely being used here, but who could you trust and who's dead?
Well, here's the thing, and I think this is, if you talk to anyone that covers the sport, they always talk about how well Girardi manages a bullpen. There are some Yankees fans that disagree with that, but I think what we're seeing now is he has found guys that he pretty much can go to every single night if he needs to. I mean, he feels like he's using Hembree and Hunter and Morgan and Neris and Workman all the time. Like, it seems like that's his five guys. He definitely doesn't trust young guys. I mean, we saw that a little earlier this season. I can't believe he used Ramon Rosso in the first game there.
I know. It's wild in hindsight, well, right? With the way,
like,
he's...
Jojo Romero looks like he could be a guy. Like, he might be...
Yeah, I've been so impressed.
I might like him more than Morgan. And he just, like, yanked him tonight for Parker. And Parker's a guy, but I still feel like he thinks Parker's like a... You're up...
A fringe guy.
Yeah, like he's up 6-2, you know, you're trying to get through the end of the game. But yeah, it feels like, you know, Hector's a guy that I still trust. I know he went through it a little bit there, but the stuff that he flashed the last two outings were really good. And even the game prior to these last two, he got squeezed on one. That was definitely a strike. You know, I think Neris is kind of turning back into Neris. And honestly, like, if he's going to get on a roll where he can just go on one of those Hector Neris roles, get him the freak back in the closer role. I hate Brandon Workman, and I know he's converted, two of three saves? But, like, he sucks, man. Like, it is, I tweeted out, but it's like watching Dollar Store Lich, man. It's 89 miles an hour. He doesn't know where the ball's going. He, like, pushes it. It looks like he's never worked on his mechanics a day in his life. And first off, you throw the curveball, like, all the time, dude. I'm sick and tired of seeing this nasty curveball that he throws, like, once every four pitches. I hate him.
It should be, like, the only pitch he throws.
I mean, seriously, like, what are we wasting our time for with your bleepity-ass slider?
This trade does not look good. I mean, because Heath Embry does not look great. I know he had that first outing where it was like, oh, wow, Heath Embry. Has not been great since. Like, this is a trade we'll look back on when Connor Siebold's a three or a four somewhere, or Boston or somewhere else, being like, well, that was.
Well, I mean, the fact that he didn't name Pivetta hurts a little bit, but I mean, seriously, who do you think you're talking to? Like, is this the first podcast you've done with me? I mean,
yeah, I should have put that together. I knew you.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chaim did go up and meet with him personally to see where he's at. So, they clearly believe in him.
Look, if they believe in him, then you know, it's
yeah,
hard
we'll
to
see.
Argue.
Henry will be fine. I think Henry will be fine. He's never going to blow you away. Like the first
Workman is just brutal,
the worst.
Workman is so tough, and he's closed out 2 of 3. I mean, or whatever. Or really, the only two. The first one, I guess he didn't close that one out, but they ended up
because of Nappy. Right? Well, Nappy got the play at the plate.
Yeah, Nappy. That was the one. Before he came in the game,
well,
he blew last
Saturday. They won Sunday.
Blew last Saturday,
and then he struck out the Nationals on a check swing on Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, so he has saved 3 out of 4 opportunities, even though one of those was.
He definitely does a lot of life on lunch. Plus, we should probably mention, as you know, that I am not surprised by this, but David Robertson will not be contributing to this Phillies team this season. What a shock! Who could have possibly said that David Robertson would not be contributing to this team?
Yeah,
this
but the.
Was it me?
Don't have any hope for anything.
Was it me? I think.
No, that's because you just look to keep everyone down and don't like anyone getting excited about anything.
I am a push everyone down so I can rise up. That is my whole thing.
Yep, that sounds just about right. I mean, honestly, I feel bad for him because he seemed like he was really gunning to get back.
Yeah, he tried. It seemed like he really, really gave it an effort. I mean, just the fact they were talking about him being close
was a miracle. It's not like they hinged their entire bullpen plans on him being healthy like Sir Anthony. So
why would you
love this team?
No general manager would actually.
No, just this one. Just this one who's gonna get. I'm just like, all right, hey Matt, I know this podcast can't stand you, but like,
putting it lightly,
like,
buddy.
How the hell do you let Michael Givens get traded for peanuts under your watch
to the Rockies?
Yeah,
no
when
less.
Like when like you traded freaking Pivetta and Seabold for two bleep relievers, you know, like Michael Givens is disgusting, and it's just like, yeah.
Oh, Michael Givens is better than either guy.
Yeah,
we got.
Not even like maybe put them together, they wouldn't be as good as Michael Givens is with one more year of control too. I mean, get this guy out of here. Whatever.
He's a disaster. Like, it's just as that's why it's so. Let's talk about the hater thing now.
Oh yeah.
So there was the rumor today that the Phillies have been in on discussions with the Brewers about Josh Hader, and I'm sure there are other relievers they're probably looking at too. And who knows if they're looking at starters or whatever. But Josh Hader, the best reliever in baseball, probably. I think if I had to pick one reliever to start a team with, it would be Josh Hader. Granted, he theoretically could be a starter at some point, maybe still two. 3 years of team control, it would cost a lot to get Josh Hader.
You think?
What type of package do you think it would cost to get Josh Hader? And on a bigger scale, because we're talking about it, do you trust Matt Klentak to be making – do you want Matt Klentak making this type
Yeah,
of
it's year? Like it's this – you know the Larry David gif where it's like – it looks like he's just pondering. That's basically me waking up every day, or that's basically me until 4 o'clock tomorrow. Because on one hand, I'm like, go for it. You know, this offense is legit. Starting staff's good enough, and the bullpen blows.
And a hater is like that good.
Dude.
And like someone who can come in and give you 2 innings in the playoffs if you need to do whatever, that kind of stuff. Like he is lights.
Yeah, I mean, if your core for the next 3 or 4 years is Wheeler, Nola, Harper, JT, God willing,
we'll get to that.
Hoskins, Bohm, probably not Didi.
Howard,
obviously Eflin. Gotta throw F in there, and then you have
and then
if you have Hader as the back end guy, I mean that's a core that you can kind of grow with. Now, the problem is the package. I mean, because basically I think the Brewers are trying to almost rebuild their farm system in one trade if they could. And honestly, I think
we're talking what? Like Abel,
yeah,
Stott?
Yeah, it starts
like
with those two.
Plus...
Yeah, it starts with Abel and Stott, and then maybe you get a Hazley or Moniak in there, and then like Medina. Like I think a package would be Medina, Moniak, Stott, and Abel. which is a lot. I mean, it would.
It might not even be enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know who else is. Well, I mean, if the Dodgers.
I mean, like maybe it's some like lower tier prospect. But regardless, my point is like, I mean, Josh Hader is a incredibly valuable commodity.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. I mean, you'd be getting.
And they're not under the gun to trade him. I mean, with 3 years left of team control, they could still get a lot for him with 2 years of team control left too.
Yeah, I forget. Miller was this scenario, right? Miller was traded in 16, and
he might have had 2 years left. It was either he was a free agent
after 18, right? Because he was last year was
so yeah. it was 2 years. So it was 2 years.
And they got back what Frazier and was it Justice Sheffield, and then flipped him to Seattle for Paxton. So yeah, I mean that's a legit package. I mean Frazier at that point was a guy that. A lot of people thought was a starting left fielder, and for some reason, well, he's a brutal defender, but I still love his bat. So yeah, definitely a legit package it would take. I love Abel, obviously everyone knows that. Stott's the same way, you know. Stott apparently has just been hitting the cover off the ball up in the alternate camp. So yeah, that's just a lot, and I don't blame the Phillies for wanting to do it, because as we've talked about a lot on this podcast, like this is their window, whether or not they want to admit it. I mean, getting JT signed for the next 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and then if you add in a Josh Hader and then you build around that core, I mean, that's your core. This is Bryce Harper's prime. This is Reese Hoskins' prime. This is Scott Kingery's prime. You know, they're not a young team. You know, they're a team that were pretty much built not organically. And whether or not they want to admit it, like they're gonna have to invest in this team if they want to legitimately win in Bryce Harper's prime. So I understand the idea of going for Hader. It's basically like, do you want to win right now, or do you want to give yourselves a longer chance at winning? You know, like do you want to go for it right now or continue to be pretty good for the next 5 or 6 years once Stott and Abel are up here?
Yeah, and you're always a go for it guy.
Yeah, I hate prospects and the draft. And like, and also, and here's my thing, and I'm not, maybe this is like a me philosophy change, but like, if you're a good organization, draft well, and it's not that big of a deal. Like, and
there's always another prospect coming up to replace them, theoretically. I mean, look, the Padres just made this sort of like massive 7-player deal centered around Austin Nola. I don't think anyone saw.
Well, I mean,
but like, obviously the other pieces are super interesting in that. But like, the Padres just have so many prospects that they can afford to give away Taylor Trammell in a deal like that. You know, because they got more prospects on the way, like, and that's what the Phillies need to be.
Yeah, so you know, maybe they're really starting to get
your boy Austin Adams in that deal, by the way, too. I don't think
he was for me. He was the headline, and
of course, Munoz. I mean, on the other end, is it fun
and
trade.
And the fellow PSAC alum Dan Altavilla, who threw a no hitter against us when I was in college. Mercyhurst's finest. But yeah, just like, I mean, Preller and DePoto making trades is something that should happen every year. I mean,
no, it should be a forced thing.
It's for Austin Nola. I mean, he's a 31-year-old utility catcher. I mean, he's having a good year, but it's like, holy smokes. Like, this is where we're at. Tomorrow has a chance to be nuts. I mean, we could see a Clevinger trade,
which is so unexpected. Yeah, but like, I did not see
this
coming.
But once the competitive juices start flowing, you see you have teams like the Padres and the Phillies who haven't been in the playoffs in forever. Like, it just makes sense. Even without fans, it's fun. I'm glad. It's so great. I am terrified. I'm terrified that the Braves are going to get Clevinger. I was them, give up Pache. I mean,
a second. I mean, Clevinger's so good.
And he's like, he could put them into a World Series contender. I mean, legit. Because they're not going. I mean, did you see? You saw the graphics tonight. I mean, it's Max Fried.
Oh, it's Fried.
Dude,
and
what
else?
Major League roster is starting Josh Tomlin on it? Like, are you kidding me? What is it, 2012? And Tommy Malone stinks. Like, get out of here.
Oh, that's a joke. Tommy Malone in a major league.
What, do they want to call Jason Vargas and see what he's up to? I mean,
may as well. And Tommy Malone, him, not that different.
I mean, Tom, I get he had a good year, but like, can we just relax on Tommy Malone?
All right. Speaking of the core and building around the core, Sign JT. We know that's a thing. John Middleton got to hear it firsthand tonight, Jack. What did you think of man of the people, John Middleton, gracing the Vandemic crew, signing autographs, and being serenaded to a little signed JT chant?
What kind of psychopath goes out and signs autographs? Like, what owner does? Like, Steinbrenner didn't even sign autographs. Like, who does this guy think he is? Like,
it's wild, I mean, man. It really
it's not
wild.
The Harper signing anymore. They're a champ. I mean, can we just read the situation here? Do you not see what the Vandemic crew?
I'm trying to think of things I want less than a John Middleton autograph, and I'm coming up very
well. Unless right you now could kind of, you know, forge, like, if you just accidentally handed him a check. Wow.
Obviously. Yeah,
just accidentally hand him a check and say, "Here, can I get your autograph?
Here, sign this autograph."
Oh. Oops, is that $1 million that I took from you? yeah, what a ballsy decision that was. And was so and scared, how much is he paying these national guys to say that? Oh, he's gonna spend whatever it takes.
Oh, how about that graphic? Spending money, and it was like all like Arietta.
Wasn't Jay Bruce on it?
I was like, all right, this is wasn't, awesome. Thank
was
you
Jay
this
Bruce on that graphic? Because I mean, the Mariners are paying all of his salary. Like, they're paying Jay Bruce like $800,000. Like, can we calm down? I was honestly, so I flipped over to the StatCast one because I couldn't take A-Rod. A-Rod is so bad.
He's brutal. He's really bad. It's actually shocking how bad.
Yeah, because I actually used to like him when he did the pregame stuff.
Me too.
And I thought he was gonna be...
Yeah, when he was at the table, I thought he was good.
Yeah.
And then
dude, so bad. It's like he's like a robot. It's like he's like the senator from Parks and Rec.
Yes, that's a great comp. That's a great.
But so I flipped over to the StatCast and the Phillies started coming back. So I thought, I was like, all right, well, this is my channel now. So I missed I missed him signing autographs. But I saw it obviously on Twitter, and it's just like, dude, who is still buying what you're selling with this whole like, oh, I'm the big guy, I'm Cigar Man, I'm gonna go out there and do whatever it takes to get this trophy back. It's like, dude, no, you're not. Like, and what what makes it so frustrating is, I mean, this team's legitimately a bullpen away from being good. Like, if they invested in the bullpen this offseason, I mean, we're talking about a team that's in first place right now. I mean, the bullpen's blown five to seven games.
Oh, if they had a MLB quality bullpen.
Yeah, if we weren't, without question.
There's question. Like, they are definitely in first place.
I mean, like, we're messing around with freaking Bud Norris and who's the terrible? Drew Storen.
They wouldn't even pay Liriano. They brought him to camp. They wouldn't even pay him. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, like,
it's crazy.
Wow. He's going to get that trophy back or die trying. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, apparently.
What kind of psycho?
Unless I have to pay him.
What kind of psycho is signing autographs? Like,
it's unbelievable, especially because like sign JT is like to the point where like national people talk about it. Like Jeff Passan talked about sign JT in his art. Like it's such a thing. Like you know what you're gonna get. Like
what do you think? What do you
like,
think they're gonna do? Do you think they're just
like be like, oh hey John, it would be really nice if you signed JT, but I understand money. You know it can be tight. So do we gotta do? Like what is he expecting?
Yeah, like hey, thanks for Bryce. You know, it's like, what a weird decision that was.
It was such a weird thing to do. And I think he thought it was like, man of the people, cool guy thing. It really did not come off that way.
It's all, that whole thing's over. Like we're just sign JT and let's keep.
And then stay in the background. Hire a MLB quality GM and fade into the background. Because that's what good owners do. Please.
Just sign the checks.
All right. What was I gonna say? I think that's everything I got on my list. I know you got some take bag stuff.
Yeah, I do have.
I figure you always have a mass amount of things that we get into after. We're done with
this is actually now. This is actually a momentous occasion that I have written down. So the runner on second thing, I still hate it, but. It really does add some intrigue. Like, I'm stressed.
Wow, look at you.
I am stressed.
You like the should they bunt, not bunt, that whole thing.
And it's like, these teams not being able to execute it drives me crazy. It might be the one thing that I still scream about. Like, I still scream about it. It's like, how do you not, like, first off, get a bunt down. We're not trying to drag bunt here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that, like, every major league hitter should be able to lay a bunt.
Just get the bunt down. Just get the freaking bunt down. And then when you hit the ball to the outfield, like, seeing teams not be able to execute in extra innings is going to raise my blood pressure by, like, 1,000. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know anything about blood pressure, but it's going to really stress me out. And
I'm still out on it. It just keeps being annoying for me because every time I look up and I'm like, wait, how did runner get on second base? Did I miss? Oh, I remember now.
And it's such an advantage for home teams. Like, it's not even close.
Well, it's a massive advantage because then you know if they don't score, you also bunt. Like,
why do they not intentionally walk the first guy and then still have the double play set up?
That's a great question, Jack. That's not a bad idea.
You have to force at third. You have to force at third so you can knock that run down.
Look at you.
Oh, I'm just trying to think the game, you know.
I know when you're thinking it. I'm with you. It's a smart call by you.
I know we were just talking about JT, and obviously I'm pro sign JT, whatever.
Whatever.
But I gotta say, I just feel like he's never gonna get the hit. Like, I just feel like he's never gonna get a big hit. I know his runners and scoring position numbers are, like, fine, but, like, I just don't trust him at all when it comes to, like, we need a hit to break open the game. Like, I feel like he never comes through. I know it sounds like a overreaction. I just feel like he never comes through. I'm sorry. That's just me watching the games. I feel like JT never gets the big hit.
I have not thought about it, but I certainly don't feel like when he's stepping up, like, I'm super confident. So maybe it's, you know, that's what I'm seeing and I'm not registering it the same way as you. But yeah, I could see that. I'm not there yet, but I'll pay more attention to
it. Tell me what your gut's saying when JT's coming up with runners on second and third and two outs.
I gotta be in the moment.
Speaking also of JT, I'm banning any Sixto Sanchez conversation. Like, I'm just out.
Oh yeah, we're just,
I
not
can't
talking about
he's
it.
Disgusting. He's can't do it. I mean, I mean, imagine, like, if this was the other way around and, like, we were watching Sixto come up. It's like, oh my god. He's so good.
I don't want to imagine it because it sounds awesome and way too fun. And this is,
well, at least when they don't pay him in 4 years, he can come back. But
there you go. It's a real positive.
It's just
he's absurd.
He is disgusting. I mean, it's,
yeah. And it's like, you know how much fun he'd be to watch if he was,
dude, it's,
like,
it's Pedro. I mean,
it's Pedro. It's like baby
Pedro. And the leaks that came out after they got rid of him was like, oh, he's just not ready and he's gonna get hurt all the time. It's like, yeah, well, listen, look at that guy pitch. I mean,
it's some of the most effortless 100, like, three digits I've ever seen. Like, it's hard to believe that it just explodes.
I keep coming back to this. How the hell did the Phillies sign that?
I know. It's a great
point. I mean,
point.
Seriously.
It's the most mystifying part,
I mean,
of it all.
That guy was a Philly? I mean, you're going to have to explain to Zoe when she's like 7, like, yeah, that guy was a Philly. And meanwhile, you know, maybe that's why Klentak traded him. He threw to it.
She probably won't believe me.
They only sign guys that throw 89.
Come on.
Hey,
no way.
Hey, at least that guy that throws 89 knows how to pitch, you know. He really knows how to work a strike zone. Meanwhile, Sixto's, like, piling up Cy Youngs. I mean, he's just disgusting. Please sign JT. Just please.
I know. Well, yeah.
Sixto. Okay. That's it. I'm not talking about Sixto anymore.
No, you're
the
one who did it. I didn't bring it up.
It just makes me so sad. I got my fake trade. You ready for my fake trade?
Yeah, I've been waiting.
So tomorrow,
you told me you had one. It's all I really.
I can't
about.
Wait. I can't wait for tomorrow. I am the walking Larry David GIF where it's. Yeah, I wanted to go for it, but also, so my fake trade is Adonis Medina and Vince Velasquez for Archie Bradley.
Ooh, I mean, I would do that in a second. You think the Diamondbacks?
They were talking about moving him today.
Yeah, I saw they were talking about moving Bradley.
He only has a year. He only has a year and a half of control left. Diamondbacks aren't really going anywhere. They're just having a kind of tough luck year. So that's Bradley's been. His numbers are better than his traditional numbers are better than all of the underlying stuff. It's been that way for 2 years, but he's been effective and he still throws hard and has a wipeout slider. And I feel like I've never seen the Phillies hit him. So that might be feeding into this, but,
and that's closing.
Yeah, he's a closer. And honestly, if you can go into games with, Hector, hopefully gets back on track, Archie, Embry most nights, and Workman just being the worst, and Morgan and Jojo Romero, whatever. But Medina, I still think could be he seems like a guy that a team would take a shot on. He hasn't lived up to the prospect hype that a lot of people have thought, but I think there could be a decent pitcher in there. A team like the Diamondbacks might take a shot on, who have been pretty good at developing pitchers over the last couple of years. And then Vinny Velo. I mean, what another scoreless outing tonight. So honestly, it kind of felt like a showcase game. A little bit. I would not be surprised. I will not be surprised if Vince is gone tomorrow. And I still think there's a weird outside shot that Hazley gets dealt. And also, Moniak being out of the player pool, that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, like, they could have just traded him for a player to be named later. So unless they want to name Moniak in a trade, like, it doesn't really do anything. They could have just said he was a player to be named later. Right. So.
It's not a sign he's getting
traded. Right. So that's my big trade. Archie has another year of control.
I would do that in a second. I don't know if the Diamondbacks would, but I would do that trade.
Well, I mean, if you look at what Michael Gibbons got traded for, that's a better deal.
Look, it's a good point.
Michael Gibbons is better than Archie Bradley's.
Better, but not maybe not. You know, I don't know if he's viewed as better with Major League teams. Archie Bradley, I think, still has.
I get he has cachet, but let's be smart here and not deal with dumb Major League teams.
I'm with you. Look, they should have traded for Michael Gibbons. Shocking. Yes. Glendak didn't make the smart move. I'm absolutely.
He's just trying to find a way to give away more top prospects.
Heath Embry and Workman. Everything, great. Brandon Workman.
Everything's fine.
It's terrific. David Hale, he looked awesome tonight. That was really.
Just a bang up job.
Just to finally pitch. It was like, where the hell's David Hale? Oh, now, great. Now, to be fair,
he hadn't pitched in a month or 2 months or maybe a year. Yeah. So it looked like it got to wipe off the rust a little bit. But that's all I got. It's not going to be the High Hops designed can that I showed you, but I think we're going to have High Hops and cans this week. So,
okay.
So if you want to.
Four Fingers Brewers, get down.
Yeah, if you want to enjoy some high hops with the game, it's still the best beer to enjoy a ball game with. If you want to enjoy the Phillies run with a beer, the only way to enjoy this Phillies run that is upcoming after the Archie Bradley trade tomorrow is with high hops. So get to Four Fingers Brewing Company.
I support that message. I agree. All right, four-game series against Washington coming up here. Any thoughts on that before we
The Nationals stink, so they definitely stink.
They're not good.
Of course they're not good. I told you they weren't gonna be good.
Mets after that, four against the Mets, is a big eight games coming.
I feel good, man.
They're better than these teams. I think they're better than both those teams. The Mets coming off a disastrous day today, which is great.
Well, yeah, after the Yankees had a disastrous day. It's unbelievable how bad Edwin Diaz is. I can't believe he's still bad. Like, his stuff is too good.
Is unbelievable. Yeah. It really is absolutely shocking. And they gave a clinic for him, which is
I started
amazing.
Thinking about the – and it's a dark place, but I started thinking about the Marlins seven-game series that is coming up.
Oh, God, yeah, don't I'm go just, there.
I don't want to get ahead there. Of myself.
You know what
yeah,
that could
I'm
be.
Well aware.
The most demoralizing – you know, we said no more 6
talk. I know.
We're gonna see
but, you know, and I, you know what I can't wait for is they win, like, what, 6 of their next 8, and then they play that series and win, like, 2 games.
All right, do they win 3 of 4?
I'll say they split.
Okay, that's probably a smart call. They're going to win 3 of 4,
every
Jack.
Time.
All right. Rate and review the podcast. It means a lot to us. Go buy some IHOPs. And stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you guys later. It's Fritz and Seltzer. See you.